right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice, juicy little Monday. It's Ropp and Suk here. We're talking some college football, because that's what we do here.
Yeah.
Very sportsy. Not 50-50.
No.
We're all sports.
That's all sports all the time.
So, wrapping up the big game runaround before we get to a little hot Oregon talk. And then we've got, Buckley standing by with his stockwatch.
Yeah.
Very popular.
It was a great weekend in the NFL. And we got a good Monday night one tonight, too.
Well, we got a World Series.
Two Monday nighters tonight.
We got two Monday night
only
games.
Only one that I care about.
We've got the WNBA to talk about for 2 hours. We've got it. We've got a lot.
Is anyone watching the Chargers and Cardinals? And I mean that anybody.
If Ravens Bucks isn't any good, I will.
That should be a really good game. And even if that game sucks and it's a blowout, I think I may just pass on the Ravens and Chargers. Cardinals and Chargers. I'm like, yeah.
So Alabama played Tennessee. That was the other big game of the weekend. And Kalen DeBoer lost again.
Yeah, and Alabama's ready to run him out on a rail. Yeah. So,
well, did you see his players doing jump shots on 4th and 1?
Yeah.
That was a little weird.
Yeah, it's a little strange.
Well, a stark reminder that Kalen DeBoer is no Nick Saban.
Well, now they got Missouri, so wait until they lose 3 games in a row.
And, where's that game?
It's in Alabama, but and Missouri's not that good, but still.
Bama's favored by 2 touchdowns in that one.
Yeah, it's 13.5. But, yeah.
They don't look very good. I mean, Milroe's last interception was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
They don't.
Nope. And Tennessee's not that good either.
No, dude, Alabama should have been up 30 at half.
Yeah. And that's why I said, I don't think there's an elite team in college football. Like, in years past, there's usually one or two teams that you look at and you're just like, whoa. And I think there's good teams.
Mm-hmm.
I think Georgia's good. I think Ohio State's good. Obviously, Oregon's really good. But, again, I don't see a team that I look at and say that's clearly the best team in the country. And so maybe now with the 12-team playoff and this, maybe we get, wouldn't that be something if we got a true underdog national champion that was able to come out of this? Because I don't think there is the top heavy one or two teams that we see most years.
Well, but they're still the most talented teams.
Yes.
And they're still the teams, those three or four at the top, that are built to go a long ways in the tournament.
Yes, and they have the depth and they have the size up front.
I mean, so that's a whole different, it's like the NBA play. It's just kind of a whole different game once you get to the tournament. But, we'll see. Maybe we'll get an upset champion. Alabama hasn't lost 2 games before November since 2007.
And that kind of eliminates them from the SEC title conversation. It doesn't necessarily eliminate you from the college football playoff, but you are not going to play in the SEC title game, which means you are going to need a bunch of help from other teams. We said three losses eliminates you. Two, it takes it out of your own hands, and you're basically going to need a bunch of help and some upsets to happen. But and that's assuming that Alabama goes perfect the rest of the way. And the way Alabama's playing on offense and defense, there ain't a guarantee that they go undefeated the rest of the way.
They don't look. This is why they play all 12, Jace.
Yes.
They just don't have that look.
Nope. We thought.
And DeBoer, we know he's a good coach.
Yeah, but I was surprised. Like, they thumped Wisconsin, which whatever. And then the way they looked in the first half against Georgia, it was like, okay, they figured it out. And then in the second half, they damn near gacked that thing away. I mean, they gave up the lead.
They gave up the lead.
And since then, it's like, you haven't played any defense against Vanderbilt. You had to squeak one out against South Carolina. And then if you would have told me that Tennessee only scores 24 points. I'm like, Alabama wins that. No, they don't.
Yeah. These conference races they're already so fun.
Yeah.
And it's going to be wild because, like you said, I mean, teams already with one loss, much less two, are freaking out.
Yeah.
Because what is their margin for error? We don't really know.
Nope.
So it's dicey. Yeah. So this SEC, in the SEC, the title game, if it were today, do you know who would be playing in it?
Well, Texas would still be in, right? With one loss? Texas wouldn't be in?
Nope.
Oh. Well, then, I'm trying to think of the one-loss teams. Missouri's a one-loss team. Georgia's a one-loss team. Texas is a one-loss team.
You haven't named them yet.
LSU's still a one-loss team,
It would
right?
be LSU against Texas A&M.
Oh.
And they play this week, which is great.
With that, and by the way, those are two teams that we both, well, both, a lot of people wrote off at the start of the season.
Oh, yeah.
And yet,
again,
here we are
this is why they play all 12.
Play all 12.
And by the way, it's going to change dramatically from here until the end of November. I can't wait for the SEC to start bitching about not getting seven teams in the playoff. They're eating their own. It's happening already, and it's great.
They're eating the pets.
They're eating the dogs.
And quite frankly, these teams are not dominant. It just doesn't appear that there are dominant teams right now.
Well, if you go Georgia, Tennessee, Texas, Alabama, A&M, LSU, Ole Miss, Missouri, that's what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's 8 teams.
Yeah.
How many of those teams go?
Again.
3?
Yeah,
4?
Well, yeah. You figure the SEC gets 3 in for sure. And then after that, when you talk about that fourth or fifth team, then it just comes down to what happens the rest of the league. Because, like, well, let's take, for instance, the Big 12, which is really fun. And Iowa State and BYU both got by the skin of their teeth, right? And I would assume that both of those teams end up losing a game along the way. Neither one of those teams is dominant. But right now, they're both undefeated, 7-0. But let's, and by the way, they don't play each other. Right. So they wouldn't meet if somehow, you know, God and Jewish God and Mormon God, all that together, BYU goes undefeated, Iowa State goes undefeated. They play in the Big 12 title game. You can almost guarantee that both of those teams get in regardless of the outcome of that game. And so, like, based on that, then that probably takes the fifth team in the SEC or the fourth team maybe, and it boots them. Indiana, by the way, Indiana has a real path to the college football playoff when you look at their schedule. And if Indiana puts together a special season and you end up getting 4 teams in the bid, let's say you get Ohio State, Oregon, Penn State, and then Indiana is a one-loss team that somehow doesn't get to play for the Big 12 title, it's going to be hard to kick Indiana out for a 3-loss fourth seed or fifth seed SEC team. So much of the SEC, if you have 2 or 3 losses, is going to be predicated on, do you have a bunch of other 1 or 2 lost teams that have looked really good in the other conferences?
Yeah, you sort of have a new betting angle.
Yeah.
That is emerging in college football this year, now that they've expanded to 12. And you're going to have teams that need games more than others.
Yes.
And you haven't had that in the past.
No. Well, and there's another one. The ACC, which we all laughed at, right? And kind of rightfully so. I think the ACC kind of sucks. But Miami, still undefeated. It doesn't look pretty, but they're 7-0. And you know who quietly is just kicking the living crap out of people right now?
Cal.
It's freaking Clemson.
Damn it.
Dude, Clemson's clubbing people. It's not Cal.
They blew another lead.
I thought you were going to say your boy Cignetti.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening.
Did you do that on purpose?
No, I just got done talking about Indiana, but thanks, Buck. Do you know, much like I said with BYU and Iowa State, you know who doesn't play in the regular season?
BYU and Iowa State.
Clemson in Miami.
Yeah, so this is and we're going to have to remind you of this weekly,
mm-hmm.
but this is your weekly reminder that in the 12-team playoff, the winner of the Big 12 will be a top 4 seed.
And get a bye.
So I want you guys to remember that. And I'm gonna make a point to say that every week.
Iowa State or BYU.
Yeah.
In theory,
yeah.
not in theory. One of them
that will happen.
That will
if they win the league.
Yes,
they are. Whoever wins the Big 12 championship game is a top 4 seed and gets a bye
and gets to host a home playoff game.
Yes,
Iowa State or BYU would more than likely end up hosting Ohio State or Oregon.
Unbelievable!
You know, that'd be a hell of a thing.
It would be a hell of a thing. And right now, if you haven't looked, and we'll get into this later because now we got a scoot skiddly doot. But Oregon's number 1. 3 of the top 4 teams in the country are from the Big 10.
Yes.
Not the SEC.
No. And by the way.
And they should be flexing that to high heaven.
Absolutely.
Over the SEC until it, of course, it ends.
Until it comes crashing down. Yeah. We've seen that. And by the way, some people asking what Army and Boise State, UNLV, they will get 1 team in, but you're not getting 2. I don't care if Army goes undefeated. The group of 5 will get 1 team and 1 team only.
Yeah, so the Armies and Navies of the world, they just basically have to go undefeated.
Yes.
That would be the only way they would get in over a Boise or...
Yes. So they take the best group of 5 team, the highest ranked team, that wins one of those. And the committee will not consider an undefeated Navy or whatever as a second group of 5 team. That's not happening.
You know who Navy gets this week?
Who do my midshipmen got?
Notre Dame.
Oh. Well, wouldn't that be something? It's not going to happen, but it's fun. It's a great story.
No, they're going to play the game. I saw it. It's on the schedule.
No, Notre Dame just said, hey, Jesus.
We're not showing up.
No, they got Jesus. And so
true story.
They got Catholic Jesus.
All right, Oregon's sitting pretty at number one. We'll get to that coming up. But up next, it is our primetime stock watch, what we're buying and selling from the weekend in sports on The Fan.
It's primetime stock watch. What's all the hype? Are Isaac and Soup buying it or calling BS and unloading it fast?
Sounds to me like you guys are a couple of bookies.
Is the hype accurate or a bunch of hot gas? Before you buy or sell, listen close.
It's easy to grin when your ship comes in and you've got the stock market beat. But the man worthwhile is the man who can smile when his shorts aren't too tight in the seat.
Primetime stock watch is brought to you by 1-800-DIVORCE. When you need to take stock of your rights, 1-800-DIVORCE is on your side. Call 1-800-DIVORCE today.
One quick correction. We were mentioning the Big 12 champion gets a bye. They do.
Yeah, but...
but that won't be a home game when they play. The quarterfinals end up going to a neutral site.
Yeah, we forgot. The only home game is for the higher seed in that first round, which obviously would work because you get a bye.
So. But be prepared for the awesome instance where the four teams with a bye in the first ever college football 12-team playoff are Indiana, Iowa State, Miami, and let's throw in Tennessee.
Why can't it be BYU?
Just as I
predicted.
Why
can't you
BYU?
Or just how the powers that be in college football imagined it, dreamed of it.
Yep. Indiana, BYU, Miami,
Missouri. I just think it'd be amazing in the first year of a true playoff if we got a weird, you know, Iowa State type.
Well, you're going to get that.
No, champion.
Champion. I don't think you're
Look, I still think it's... if you ask me right now, you give me Oregon, Ohio State, Georgia, I'll take that versus the entire field. But I just think it'd be fun if we got a weird, Indiana, Iowa State,
BYU. We're going to get some weird results. We're going to get some wonky games in there, I think.
I would hope so.
But I don't know about going all the way.
I don't think so. You know, because we've seen, like, TCU get there and teams like that, and then when they do get there, even Washington, to an extent, who had 12 NFL players when they got to the big game and they played Michigan, the cream tends to rise.
Should we start the stock watch?
Yeah.
Hi. Hello.
That's why I paused. I thought you'd
pick up on that cue.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Here I am.
Radio guy.
Let's start with Oregon-Purdue, the Friday night ho-hum affair.
What an affair it was.
But Oregon now ranked number one for the first time since 2012. Here's Josh Pate of CBS on that Oregon-Purdue victory.
It's a tough spot. I don't care who the opponent is. It's a tough spot, and they win 35-0. I think that game won't be remembered by anyone. That is as good an indicator that you've got a program with its act together and a coaching staff with its act together as anything. Bama beat Georgia a couple of weeks ago, and then they pissed it away the next week because they came up to Vanderbilt and lost. Oregon did what elite teams do. They beat Ohio State, and then they went and just drug a team in their own backyard and gave them no reason to even have hope. They never allowed them to have a breath of oxygen. Done. Over. That's how you do it. If you want to win a title, that's how you do it.
Buy or sell that Oregon will still be ranked number one come Big Ten championship game week.
Whoa!
Yeah, by the way, fella, I like Josh Pate. He does like Oregon. Really? We're talking about the Purdue game like as some sort of barometer? Okay.
Well, can I say something about what he just said there?
Yeah.
He's right about that, but who didn't think Oregon didn't have a program that had its act together?
It's Purdue.
Like, I don't know.
If you would have told me that, like, this week, like, Illinois was the one after Ohio State, maybe. Dude, Purdue's one of the worst teams in the country.
Are they? So is he? He's a national guy?
He's a national guy. Yeah. But he's got a little, he's got kind of a...
He was on Oregon before the season.
He's got
so
a sports wood for Oregon.
So is that, a thing out there? I mean, I know Harrington told us that last week or 2 weeks ago. He said he was talking to his guys in the NFL, his friends, who all say, he asked them, what is Oregon's reputation? And they all said, the team that is really good but can't win the big one.
Yeah.
Is that still a thing out there for those that haven't really watched Oregon? Is that Oregon is still kind of a paper tiger?
Boy, I hope
because
not. It's certainly not for Pate.
They need to watch.
I know he goes on with Dirt and Sprague and he loves Oregon, but to say that a team that got drug up and down the field by Oregon State is somehow the barometer for Oregon. Whatever.
I think he was just saying that it was a potential letdown spot because of the fact you're on 6 days rest. It's a night game. You're going that. Across. And like, I don't think you're expecting them to not win that game, but they just went in and took care of business.
Yes. To answer your question, do I expect them to be undefeated? Yes, I do. Because Illinois, that's a bit of a test, but it's at home. Michigan is awful. Maryland isn't good. They just beat USC, but Maryland's not good. And Wisconsin and Washington are both ho-hum. I mean, on the road at Wisconsin, maybe might have something for you. But I expect Oregon to be undefeated going into the Big Ten title game, where more than likely they will play Ohio State, and I think there will be an instant classic. The only one that would scare me a bit is on the road at Wisconsin. But again, I trust Oregon. So, yes, I expect them to be the number one team in the country going into championship week.
Oh, you said undefeated or number one?
Number one.
Well, but they would.
But, I mean, if
yeah,
you.
Yeah, but see, I think.
You think someone could jump them even if they don't lose?
Oh, no. I'm saying if they lose one, they could still be number one.
Oh, okay.
In which case, I think I would bet that they are still number one because there's a lot of topsy-turvy-esque going on out there.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to drop one. I mean, this Illinois game is like, And then at Michigan, at Wisconsin, and then your rival. I think one of those four, something bad happened. Yeah, you know, I don't know. Listen, I trust Lanning, his staff. I think the Ducks are sitting pretty. Whoa, sorry. Misfire. I think they're sitting pretty for the playoff, but it's really hard to go undefeated. Now, they are certainly, I think, talent-wise and coaching staff-wise, they have what it takes to go undefeated. The schedule is there, but, you know, funky things happen
yeah.
Especially in November. So I bet they drop one, but I'm still going to buy that they're number one. How about that?
Well, let's move over to the Big 12 and Sooks BYU Cougars, right, as we are wrapping up here with the Ducks postgame show. The Cougars pulling victory out of the jaws of defeat. They did it with BYU. Here's how it sounded.
Happy feet. Downfield. Broken tackle. Lassiter. Touchdown. Are you kidding me?
Buy or sell that Sooks should bank on a BYU playoff berth this season.
Dude, I'm banking. No, I'll sell it. I'll bank on nothing. It's a fun ride, though. BYU is a really good team. They're a resilient team. They're not elite. If they played, I think they're 11th in the country. I don't think they're the 11th best team in the country. They're finding ways to win, right? And we give credit to other teams that find ways to win. So why not these guys? It's an awesome story. And in the Big 12, they absolutely have an opportunity to do this. But banking on it means that I think they're going to be there. And when I'm banking on it, I'm banking on Ohio State. I'm banking on Oregon. I'm banking on Georgia. I'm banking on Texas. I'm not banking on BYU. My fingers are crossed because, again, it's a kick-ass story. It'd be awesome to see Iowa State and BYU both go undefeated, play each other, and both get in. It'd be incredible to see some new blood and maybe get a rocky, upset sort of situation in the playoff. But I can't bank on it.
Bank on them being in the playoff?
Yeah.
Playoff? Is that what you asked?
Yeah. Buy or sell that Sook should bank on.
We got too many
basically
white,
believe that
we got too many
Cougars
white guys on defense.
Why,
I'm sorry.
Why would he bank on them being in the playoff?
Because they're 6-0 and they look like a team of destiny. That's
they're
why.
Seven
actually,
and
they're
7-0. That's why.
But three of their last five are on the road.
Yeah.
And they play the Juggernaut Jayhawks.
Rock Jack.
So
the primetime bowl. Get excited.
But that doesn't mean they can't win the Big 12. I mean, they win the Big 12. They're in the tournament.
Exactly.
So in the Big 12 title game, they can drop one or two and still make the Big 12 title game.
That's true.
And then they would play an Iowa State or so it is definitely doable. More doable than you probably are giving them credit for, just because I know you and you're probably pessimistic about it. You've been trained to be. But this is they got
a chance.
Zip, boop.
Yeah. Again, have we
But
ever,
no, he shouldn't bank on it.
Have we ever had Mormon Jesus and Jewish Jesus come together? We've never seen this. Every team tries to have one singular Jesus. We've gone twofold now. So, we got some spiritual power behind us at this point. The Huckin' Hebrew, man. It's freaking great.
Well, let's move over to Sunday Night Football, where we saw Russell Wilson get the start for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He got into the end zone. Mike Tomlin was asked after the game if it signified anything. Here's how that sounded.
What does it say that Russ kept the ball and pushed his way in for that one-yard rushing touchdown? And what did you learn about maybe his resilience and his strength in that moment?
It was just a sneak.
refusing to play any ball with the
what
narrative.
A dumb question. Like, really of all was. The things you're going to ask him about, it's the, hey, what did you think of him getting the 1 yard on a sneak?
What?
That was just an excuse for me to sync the audio in there. But buy or sell, Russell Wilson will lead the Pittsburgh Steelers to the playoffs.
Yeah, they're 5-2.
They're 5-2.
They're going.
Yeah.
They're going places. Super Bowl champs.
I mean, we've only seen one start from him, but
look,
and he wasn't very good last year.
Yeah, and look, Russ wasn't. That performance is being a little bit overblown, but he gives him, like, for all the crap that Mike Tomlin got for replacing Justin Fields, you saw why he replaced Justin Fields. There is a real ceiling on what Justin Fields is doing, and I think Russell Wilson, there's still a ceiling. It's just a little higher ceiling, and there's more maturity there. And if Russ can play that style of ball, they're going to be in a lot of games. But the problem that Pittsburgh is going to have is the same problem they have every year. When you play an offense like this, you're going to win 10, 11 games. You're going to get into the postseason, and then you're going to play an elite defense, and your offense is going to be very problematic, and you're going to play a real offense. And we've seen this. Teams like this don't go very far, but this is Pittsburgh's MO every year since Roethlisberger retired. And at 5-2, this is a playoff team.
Yeah, exactly. So it doesn't matter how far they go. That's a great franchise. That's a winning franchise. They're doing a great job again. They're about to be 6-2 because they're getting ready to play the Giants.
Yeah.
And they need that because then they're going into a bye, and the rest of their schedule,
gets kind of heavy.
It's pretty dicey. Yeah. So they're at Washington. They also play Baltimore, Cincinnati twice, Philadelphia, Baltimore again, and Kansas City.
Yeah. And so those are just those.
So
are
the only two other easier games besides the Giants, they play Cleveland twice, of course. But outside of that, and those are tough divisional games, it's not going to be easy down the stretch for Pittsburgh.
No. And I just, this offense, unless Russ takes some potion and goes back 6 years, there's just a limit to where this offense is going to take you.
Potion?
I don't know. Maybe he's got, maybe some sort of weird deal with the devil unlimited thing that he can take. Did you see he refused to unveil his stupid new catchphrase, though?
Mr. Unlimited.
He's so...
Did you see his pregame interview? It was like AI-generated rah-rah speak. It was really something.
Someone got to Russ and told him, dude, and it was probably Mike Tomlin, you cut that rah-rah S right out.
Broncos orange, let's ride.
Yeah, they asked him about it because I guess his new one is Let's Win 7 or whatever, the 7th title for Pittsburgh. And they asked him, they're like, hey, you want to unveil the new catchphrase? And Russ was like, no, I'm not going to. Like, it's for later. Like,
no more catchphrases for a while, buddy.
Yeah, Mike Tomlin said, dude, I will bench you. You shut up and play football.
And then finally, on the other side of the Sunday Night Football coin, Aaron Rodgers was asked about the team having the same issues. He was a bitch like he usually is.
How do you get everybody to keep the belief when it seems like a lot of the same mistakes?
Stop listening to you guys.
Oh, yes. Media's
number cool. One. Number two, got to be accountable, you know. I got to play better. That's the key. I got to play better. We got to find a way to run the ball better so we can action pass. I thought did some nice things in the passing game. Brees obviously had a couple of really nice ones. Spread the ball around to Tay, G, and Allen. Mike had a nice conversion. But we got to run the ball better, and I got to play better.
Always angry, always losing. Buy or sell that this will be Aaron Rodgers' last starting job.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. I mean, he may come back for another year with the Jets, but no one else is, like, you know, they're putting on him. When he's done with the Jets, he's done. So whether it's this year or next year, but if you're Rodgers, why come back? Because the problems that, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, the problems that are with the Jets, it's not solved by Devontae Adams. There is systemic problems here. You fired your coach midseason, like you have bad ownership. This is going nowhere fast. And you went all in, you probably fire your GM. So is there a reason for Rodgers to come back? Probably not. And what team is desperate enough to then roll the dice on Aaron Rodgers again? Like, I think this is probably it. This year or next year, and it's not going anywhere fast. So you're a Hall of Fame quarterback, multiple MVPs, one of the best to do it, but I do not know if he will be remembered fondly. And maybe that's unfair. I think we're discrediting how good he was because of the problems at the end and how he's remembered. But he did most of that to himself. And it's hard for me to believe that someone would win in a douche-off with Russell Wilson, but I think Aaron Rodgers is douchier than Russell Wilson.
I hate to say this. I don't think he is. Yeah, that's tough, a great poll question, though.
It is. Bigger douche.
Douchiest QB in the league.
I think it's Wilson. Because I feel like Rodgers has... at least a side of him, maybe 10% of him, that could be fun or engaging.
It's kind of douchey.
I don't think Russell Wilson has that.
Oh, it's tough.
I mean, if you sat down to have a beer with Russell Wilson, are you stabbing a fork into your eye within the first, I don't know.
Like, I'm not convinced Russ is a real person.
Right.
He's just like a shell of a human being. He's a robot.
Like, at least Rodgers may tell some dumb story of some, like, UFO or something. I don't know. You know, it's like,
yeah.
I'll take that over.
He may also tell you that the Sandy Hook shootings are false and 9/11 was an inside job.
But that's better than, well.
Is it?
No, it isn't. But I still think Rodgers, slightly less douchey than Russell Wilson. By the way, can I go back to, first of all, I would like to answer that and state that I buy the stock. This is his last starting job. Okay. But isn't part of accountability hearing and professionally answering media criticism where it's warranted?
Part of the gig.
Right? And he kind of then did that. He just had to take
complain about it first.
Yeah, it's just like, these guys.
Give it up, man.
Yeah, just. And they suck. I mean, come on. Yeah, and he sucks. He's not, he's still Aaron Rodgers, but he's not playing great. He's not.
Nobody there's playing great.
No. He's throwing picks right and left. Now, I was watching a little bit of that game. A couple of the, one of them for sure wasn't his fault. Another one was just a really good play by the Steelers DB.
Yeah, the one just bounced off Wilson's chest. I mean, that's.
But still, yeah, 7 picks, 10 touchdowns. I mean, he's not, and he said it, but you don't need to stop listening to your bullshit. Maybe it's actually warranted. Because we actually watch you, and we're.
And did you hear the question? He just said, like, how do you keep the same things from happening? He's like, but not listening to you guys. Like, what?
That's why you've lost.
It's a reasonable question to ask.
I don't know anyone.
Russ wouldn't say that.
I'm trying to think if I know anyone that played with Rodgers. I'm scanning. I know two people that played with Russ, and I'm not calling anyone out.
Let's be great. Let's be great.
They don't have anything good.
Yeah.
To say about it.
See, I think some people might have something good to say about Rodgers.
I'm trying to think if I know.
Some people.
Yeah.
Well, Devontae Adams likes him.
Yeah, Adams likes him. And I'm sure there's people like Russ. I'm just saying, the two guys that I know that played a significant amount of time with Russell Wilson.
Randall Cobb really likes Aaron Rodgers.
Not huge fans.
Stockwatch is brought to you by Goldberg Jones. When it comes to divorce, custody, or child support issues, trust Goldberg Jones to help. Call 1-800-DIVORCE. Phone questions answered at no charge. Coming up next, it is in the news. Have you read about the IV shortage we have going on?
Oh, no.
Have you read about that?
I have not.
Well, your noted newsman's going to tell you.
Thank you.
But first, Buck with SportsCenter. All right. Cruising right along here on today's broadcast of the program.
Muppet song, cruising right along. In
moving your... right along.
Is it moving? Yeah.
Yeah. Great song. All right. It's October 21, 2024. It's time now for In the News. I'm your noted newsman. Hello. Thank you. Today is International Day of the Nacho.
Mm. Well, who doesn't love nachos?
Yeah.
I mean, if you didn't like nachos, I mean, I just don't know if we could hang out.
Why wouldn't you? Like,
yeah.
What? I mean, I get that you may not like
certain
one or two ingredients of a nacho.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like olives on my nachos.
Sure. But you can pick around. You know.
But everybody has a perfect nacho plate, right?
Yeah. And if you didn't, I don't know, maybe you're one of those health weirdos and you're like, you refuse to eat nachos.
I mean, I get that.
But that I don't think that means you hate nachos. You're just choosing not to eat them because of the health concerns. But
right.
If you took a bite of nacho and then were like, this is disgusting, I just don't think we could be friends.
It is also a celebration of the Mind Day.
Ah.
The mind is a curious thing, isn't it, Jace?
And then tomorrow will be the celebration of the Up Top Day, right?
Whoa. Why did you go there?
Because that's always I want someone to celebrate my mind. When in reality, most of us, male and female,
just like your up tops.
Yeah, and for a female, it's like you like some dude's abs or his ass. You know, it's. But then we have to. They're like, what? Oh yeah, she's got a great mind. Like everybody that you've ever had that's dating like the stripper. Oh, you should actually talk to her. She's an incredibly intelligent woman. I'm sure she is.
Well. This is brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. I heard about this because I have my nose to the, or my ear to the ground.
Your nose is down there? You brown nosing, are you?
My ear is to the ground in the community. Yeah. And my kid told me about this. Him and his friend are nurses, you know. So I was drinking with them the other night, and they were telling me about this. I had no idea, but there's a nationwide IV fluid shortage.
Yeah, and by the way, we had an anesthesiologist that texted in and said that this is a...
It's a very real thing.
Yeah, he said, we have daily meetings for proper allocation. Yep. Elective surgeries in many places are being put off until January. So yeah. Buck's penile enlargement surgery.
Yeah, that has to wait.
That's not going to happen anytime soon.
No.
Yeah, yeah, so OHSU has postponed 108 surgeries scheduled for this week. This is all because Hurricane... Not Milton, the first one.
The first one.
Helene?
Something like that.
She...
Like a bitch.
She knocked a North Carolina factory offline. And it produced about half the IV fluids used by hospitals around the country. And so, yeah, it's all in short supply. Electrolytes, saline, the whole thing. They are among the most common treatments hospitals give patients during surgeries in ICU and in the emergency department. So 25% of surgical procedures, roughly, will be canceled because
right out.
They don't have the IV fluids. And I tell you, it's a little more dicey than that. Again, my ear is to the ground. I know things that go on in hospitals. And I'm telling you, it's like, dude, they're...
Scary?
Well, yeah, it's scary because they have to make...
Yeah, make decisions.
Very quick decisions about, well, can I use this
like,
on this person?
That was like COVID, right? Triage. Like, you had to determine who needed, like, there's only so much equipment to go around, and you got to make decisions based on, you know, who's in immediate need.
Yeah, it feels very third worldy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Hey, I really need this, but sorry, I don't have this, I don't have the medicine to give you, so
and is perhaps
you.
The, is this the time for us to form an IV fluid company?
My friend has an IV fluid company.
Oh.
But I didn't ask it. Like, does he have a stockpile of IVs or is his company?
Pounce! Let's go!
Yeah, but they do theirs for like people at golf tournaments that have hangovers and whatnot. So,
well, maybe they could be used.
Yeah, maybe.
Have you ever done that? The hangover drip or whatever. What do they call it?
Yeah, like a hangover IV?
Yeah, it's a hangover IV.
You guys ever done
it? I never have. I've been interested.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they, I have a buddy of mine that has it's a mobile IV company, and they like they either come to your house or they go to big, you know, tournaments or parties and stuff, and yeah, they give people IV drips.
How was it?
Yeah, it's, you know, you sit there
and... a bunch of fluids, eh?
Yeah, it's a bunch of fluids. Yeah. And I've gotten them after, like, football games.
You feel better?
Yes, absolutely. Like, when you're cramping in a game, really the only thing that can alleviate that is an IV drip. So sometimes at halftime, they'll try to get you in there and get one in. Or after the game, you can get one in order to prevent the plane ride home.
It's my mom's professional specialty, intravenous access.
What? Intravenous?
IVs.
Is what?
My mom's professional specialty. She spent 20 years in IVs.
Oh. Well, I tell you, if you've ever had anybody pop a vein, or what do they call it?
Yeah, I mean, you just rupture.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah,
ruptured vein.
Yeah, you rupture, you go all the way through.
That crap hurts.
Oh, yeah, dude. We got into a whole... This was... We were hanging out at my buddy's country club. And if you want to know how dumb and ignorant wealthy men are, I give you this. Well, because we were talking about my buddy who has his mobile IV company. And they were going to a golf tournament that a bunch of these bros were at. And someone brought up the fact that they're like, dude, you can just go buy your own IV supplies and just do it yourself. And I start, and for like, you know, he's like, and it would cost you nothing. I started laughing. And I was like, okay, first off, yeah, I'm sure you can just go and buy your own IV supplies. I'm like, who's administering that? You're going to do it yourself? And there were like these two dumbasses that had never given an IV IV before in their life.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, no problem. Yeah. I'm like, what? Dude, I would pay. I will let you sit there as long as you want and watch you butcher your arm until you quit.
Don't
whatever
you, think,
you want to bet.
Don't you think a lot of people think that, though?
Oh, my God.
Because it doesn't look that hard.
It is.
But so, it is not easy.
No.
And everybody's different.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, dude, the last time I had a blood draw, this dude, look, he was really nice. Yeah. But he didn't have a mask on, and he was breathing heavily all over me, and he was kind of gross.
Yeah.
And I didn't like that. And then he couldn't find my vein.
It's a lot harder.
It's just, and I'm just like, are you cut out for this?
Yeah.
Do you want to host a sports show?
And a lot of doctors and nurses aren't great at that. And so they have specialists who like float all around the hospital.
Well, he said, so he tapped one vein and busted it.
Yep.
And then he went over to the other arm. He's like, well, I'm not really getting one over here either. And he goes, well, after two, we have to pass it off to somebody else.
Yeah, they call the lines.
And believe me, when they blow one out, it bleeds like you wouldn't.
It hurts.
It just goes everywhere.
It's like a big bruise.
Yes. But these two Dunkoffs, they're like, oh, yeah, I got this. you know, maybe once or twice, but I'd be able to do it. Just started laughing because I had to do that when I, you know, did my EMT training however many years ago. Gosh, that's going on 30 years. I'm old. I haven't done one in that long. And I was like, dude, there's no way someone would quit. No one would allow me to do it. And I've done it before. And they're never having done it. They were just confident. It's just the amount of bravado when it comes to that sort of stuff. That really is a technical skill.
Coming up, well, yeah, that's why it's a whole.
Yes.
I mean, what do they call them?
Yeah, nurses, doctors. Yeah.
Well, I know, but aren't there people that are just that? Like, you know, you go to those lab draw places. Yeah. Those people aren't.
They're not the.
No offense,
normal.
Yes. But they're kind of working their way up, right? Yes. Like they're just. It's more entry level, yes. Which is, I think, another reason why it has a stigma. Yes. But it's not easy what they do.
No, even medical professionals like nurses that don't do it on a regular basis are going to struggle with it.
And they're nervous about it.
Yes.
You ever seen one that's like, oh boy.
You get a little shaky.
I'll go ahead and try this. And they get shaky. Yeah. And then.
Just love people. I got it. I got this. Same people that think they're going to fight a hippo.
Man. Oh, I'm hurt. mark your calendar. Oh, phlebotomist. Is that what it's called? Right?
That's like someone who evaluates blood, right? I think that's less the intravenous access and more someone who studies the blood.
Was your mom's title?
Oh, she was on the Lyme's team. She was an intravenous access specialist.
Intravenous access specialist.
Yeah, so everything from the needles into the arm to like ports and like central lines that if you get like something surgical.
So that's not just like the lab tech.
No,
draw blood.
Right, the lab tech can do that, but like if you get like a PICC line or like a port, that's more of like a, you know, like a central body procedure.
I think phlebotomist is right. I'm going to trust my guy.
Phlebotomist is a blood person.
I like it.
All right, mark your calendars, guys. He's coming to town next on The Fan. As soon as you are able. All right, welcome back. One more story for you here from your noted newsman. Now, this is news you can use, guys. October 21, 2024. Coming to town November 7th. TV personality DJ Pauly D.
Oh,
get excited.
He's still doing something, huh?
Well, he's a DJ, and he is from MTV's Jersey Shore.
Yeah, and like 9 other spinoffs because they're still making a living.
Oh, yeah, they got family reunions and
are they still doing that show?
Oh. Good for them, dude. Those Sons of Guns.
They are milking it. It's incredible.
For like 15 years.
Well, I will say about the DJ thing. Mm-hmm. So he is playing at the 45 East nightclub in Southeast Portland on November 7th.
I have no idea.
8 p.m. to midnight.
What that's about, but okay.
Do you think you and BTJ will go?
Hey, honey.
Want to go see DJ Pauly D?
Sad part is she'd probably be into it.
He will also be in Eugene, I think, the next night. But it says his eclectic track selection, unique style, and infectious personality captivate crowds around the globe. He is now one of the most sought-after DJs in the world. His music library spans nearly every genre of club music, and he has the exceptional ability to mix in and out of top 40 and house music, introducing an entirely new demographic to quality dance music. I will say this about DJs. You never know who's going to be good at it, right? Like, if you see, like, for example, Shaq is apparently a DJ.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes when people like that take up another gig, you're like, oh, come on. You know, you just have the money to be able to do that. But, you know, with the DJ thing, you never know. It's such a skill that we don't really know who would be good at it and who wouldn't.
I just don't get it. Because I've been to, like, big events where they have professional DJs. And I'm like, really? Like, you're getting paid? By the way, would you care to guess what it costs to book DJ Pauly D?
Ooh.
It's got a minimum.
For this kind of show?
Yes. There's varying things, but there is a minimum to book.
I'm going
to
say 20 Gs.
$40,000.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Which blows me away because I'm being dead serious. Is anyone out there, because at this point, like, I'm assuming the people that are going to this are very young people. Are 22-year-old kids literally showing up because DJ Pauly D from Jersey Shore from like 15 years ago is there?
No, that's kind of what I was wondering. Like him going to Eugene. Like
maybe he's a good DJ.
Maybe he is a good DJ, but I was wondering if the college kids would even know who he is. Well,
because the thing about the DJ to me is like, it doesn't matter.
He's 44.
Well, so he can still be a good DJ. I went and saw this guy named Afrojack in Vegas at the Wynn.
I've heard of Afrojack.
Yeah. And so I'm just like, oh my God. My kids wanted to go, right? Mm-hmm. So we get there and I'm like, I'm going to be ducking out of this because he doesn't start till like midnight, right? Yeah. And oh my God, dude was so good and so fun. And I didn't, because I didn't know what to expect. I'm just an old dumb sports guy. And, you know, he played a lot of stuff from, like, DJ was, Pauly D was saying, like, from the 80s, and then you mix in the, it's just, it's a cool, it was cool. And he was really good, and he kept me interested, which is hard to do.
Yeah.
And so you just never really know with these guys. Like, I don't, like, if the DJ is good, it doesn't matter who it is.
Yeah.
I'd put it that way. Now, I don't go to enough of them to know that if the DJ is bad, do people just start filing out, or they're just all high anyway, so they just have fun no matter what? But if you pay more to see the better DJs. But I'm telling you, this Afrojack guy,
you liked him.
He was really good.
All right.
And I can see why. Like, it's one of those shows you walk away going, I know nothing about that guy, but I can see why he is one of the best in the world.
Like, I went to see, I was at a festival in Skrillex, which... I think
that's a DJ.
He's a DJ, but it's like EDM. All I know is, dude, there were a lot of people there who were losing their S. It just fascinates me that you stand up there, like the old school DJ, I get, like the old hip hop guys, you had the turntables. Now you just stand up there with your Apple, with your MacBook and hit play.
Yeah, a friend of mine got us tickets to see Deadmau5, like the, with the big ears, you know, and yeah, he just sat up there and punched the buttons on his computer. It wasn't like he was really doing anything. It's kind of strange.
Hey, good for him, man. That guy, 40 G's to show up. Sure you're doing just fine.
Put it on your calendar.
I'm going to pass.
November 7th.
I'm going to pass on that. I think if someone like me walked in, they'd be like, sir, I think you're looking for the like the Denny's next door. Like,
they would think you're coming for your security job.
Well, I'd be a narc or something. They're not welcoming
me. Like, here's a vest. You'll be at the front door.
Exactly. Where's your t-shirt that says, exactly, where's your t-shirt that says security? Go away.
All right.
You're making the children uncomfortable.
That is In the News, October 21, 2024, brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. The Hot 5 at 5 is next on The Fan.